Hello, friends, and welcome to The Point, the home services podcast that focuses on marketing and operational solutions to help you get better. Because if you're not getting better, you're getting worse. Now, let's cut through the bullshit and get to the point.
Well, what is up, To The Point listeners? What in the hell is going on right now with this coronavirus? So we've had so many of you reaching out to us asking us if we're going to do a podcast with anyone about this coronavirus stuff, what they're doing, tasks. I've been seeing a bunch of people from the industry coming together, more so than really ever, and putting things out there. And a lot of it's still subjective. Some of the stuff isn't really good. But we wanted to put something together quickly with one of our good friends who's been on the podcast many times, who we believe has absolutely got it figured out, always has it figured out, been down this road many times, maybe not through a pandemic like this, but been through these situations. And so for those of you who don't know, my name is Chris Yano. I am the host of To The Point, also the CEO of Rhino Strategic Solutions. And I have my co-host, Mr. Tall Paul. What's up, my man?
Hey, everyone. Good to see everyone, as always. I know the last time I was on the phone with Ken was, I think, a week and a half ago or so, as we were kind of evaluating a trip that we were going to both take out to St. Louis. And man, things just spiraled fast. The NBA shut down. Like, it went from speculative to, oh my gosh, what is happening? And that was like the biggest first shock. So like many of our listeners trying to figure out, okay, what do you do? What are you allowed to do? How do you now, you know, manage through a high touch business? I know our listeners and our customers have had a lot of questions, so I'm glad to have Ken on. This is going to be a productive conversation. So thanks for jumping so quickly, Ken.
Yeah, so then quickly, let me go ahead and introduce my guest. Returning back to the podcast, he's basically part of the podcast now.
His podcast.
It's basically Ken's podcast. We just get to lead it for him.
I own it now. I own the podcast.
So we have Mr. Ken Goodrich, CEO of Gettle. But not only do we have Ken, we've also got Mr. Dale Steele, who's the residential manager for Gettle, and AKA one of the most badass salesmen in the, I'm going to say North America. What do you think about that, Dale?
Sounds good.
That sound good?
Yeah. Now, I do want to make an announcement. Dale has perfected his craft so well, and he's become such a positive influence to our business, all our locations, which now spans from, you know, California, Nevada, Arizona, and Texas, that we've now promoted Dale to the Vice President of Sales for all of Gettle Home Services.
Awesome.
Well done, my man. Well done.
Now, word of the wise for everybody, because I've done this millions of times, I've failed at it. Never take your best sales guy or your best tech and make him a manager. It's just bad. But in this particular case, we have been grooming him and training him and planning this day for several years. And, you know, last year, I'm proud to say that Dale, with honing his craft and his disciplines and his mindset, personally closed $11.4 million in residential retail sales in 2019.
So did you hear that, listeners? That's $11.4 million, correct?
Correct.
Just a little chip shot. It's a different
stratosphere than most people even operate under. I mean, that is so wildly successful. So congratulations. We're honored you're on here, and sounds like they put the franchise tag on you, is what they call it now. So now that you're overseeing all those different locations, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's a cool thing.
And awesome. And I got to tell you, you know, we've all had sales guys, and we all know the animal known as sales guy, right? And, but Dale happens to be the unicorn of sales guys, because he's not greedy. He doesn't complain. He goes to work. There's no drama. There's no nonsense. He does his paperwork. Customers love him. He doesn't have callbacks. He doesn't have chargebacks. He just is the unicorn of Apex sales. Matter of fact, we recently had him testing on plumbing sales. And guess what? He can sell plumbing just as well.
Nice.
So you guys ought to have him on the show one time and talk to him. You can go on YouTube, our YouTube channel. He's done a lot of videos on mindset. You know, we share them with the industry. I know that a lot of companies across the U.S. have used his mindset videos for training their people. We just put it out there as just, kind of give back to the industry. So check it out.
Yeah, we'll go ahead and post a link to that video when we post this podcast. Take care of that real quick. But yeah, Dale, for sure, we'll do a follow-up podcast and maybe kind of walk through that process, because, I mean, sounds like we need to bring you over here to Rhino and put you to work, because you got to figure it out. It's just plug you in wherever.
Yeah, absolutely.
So let's do this. I want our listeners to really be able to have some good takeaways given the current situation. And Ken, I know you have been super active in the different communities and social. I'm not talking like physical communities. I'm talking online communities, social communities, with helping others. You've been on here multiple times, just continuing to give wisdom, not tips and tricks, knowledge and wisdom. And we want to continue down that path. But what I really wanted this particular podcast to be is as if our listeners are sitting in the war room at Gettle, understanding what happened. And I do want you to touch on, because you've been through some of these things before, so that will set the perspective. But I want our listeners to be able to understand, hey, here's what Gettle did. This is the right way to do it. What did I miss? What did I not do? And then what can I take away from this to know what to look for in the future? Not that something like this is going to happen again in our lifetime, but you're going to run into obstacles. So if you would, real quick, I don't want to assume, again, everybody knows who Gettle is. Do a real quick tee up or just overview of Gettle. And then let's go right into kind of how Gettle is doing today.
Okay. Cool. Okay.
Like current times today.
Okay. Can you turn on the air conditioner though?
Sure.
I don't want to be sweating.
I think I know how to operate one.
Totally appropriate. He is the unicorn of a sales guy.
Look at him.
You know what? Dale's another unicorn move is when customers ask him, how much am I going to save? How much energy am I? How much am I going to save on my power bill if I buy this air conditioner for you? And he said, well, what do you say? So let me do the question. Let's work with it. So how much am I going to save on my power bill if I buy this air conditioner?
I don't know.
There you go.
He'll go into the reasons why he doesn't know. Yeah. But the whole point is, I think our industry has gotten so, we're a technical group anyway, right? And then we start heading down, this super sales systems and things like that, and we really overcomplicate it. It's not about power bill, it's about comfort, right? So that's what he sells. Anyway, I just thought I'd throw it out. Okay, so Gettle. So Gettle Air Conditioning. Gettle Air Conditioning was started in 1939 by the Gettle brothers of Ohio. And when air conditioning started getting invented by Lewis Carrier, it was being installed in, theaters and big buildings and, printing presses, industrial kind of places, used more of a dehumidification device than an air cooling device. And so the Gettle brothers recognized the fact that, hey, we could apply this technology for residential use. And so they decided what place would really need air conditioners. And they said, how about Phoenix, Arizona? And so they came to the Sonoran Desert, which happens to be the hottest desert on Earth, right? It's the most severe temperatures on Earth. And they designed the first residential air conditioner. They started with a swamp cooler. They invented a swamp cooler. Then they went to refrigerated air conditioning. And they built the very first residential air conditioner. They invented the heat. They didn't invent a heat pump, but they invented the gas air conditioner. And out west, you'll see a lot of air conditioners are on the roof because they started with swamp coolers. You just had to have them. It wasn't a it wasn't an option. And so they replaced the swamp coolers with the units. Mm-hmm. At the same time, the Gettle brothers had they manufactured the units, and they installed the units, and they repaired the units. And so they had those three businesses going. And then as time went on, they continued to grow Phoenix, Arizona. And as a matter of fact, there's a Discovery Channel episode on Phoenix, Arizona, and a clip of Gettle, and it talks about how Gettle was the key catalyst of creating Phoenix, Arizona, by bringing refrigerated air to homes and making it habitable. And so Gettle has been an iconic brand for those reasons, and they thrived for many, many years. I happen to tell the story that I held the flashlight for my dad while he worked on an air conditioner at age 10. The first air conditioner I ever lit up with a flashlight was a Gettle. And we were in Las Vegas, and my dad was a Gettle dealer. So the first air conditioner I ever learned to repair was a Gettle, sold was a Gettle, installed was a Gettle. And so my whole career has been built around Gettle. And then in 2013, I had an opportunity to buy Gettle, which, you know, I have defined as my destiny. And so all the events that transpired in the industry has led up to this point where I could buy Gettle. And at the time, it was challenged. The business was challenged. And I was able to put a great team together, put my systems in place. And we've taken Gettle now from one location in Phoenix. We've added Tucson, Las Vegas, Corona, California, Simi Valley, California, and now San Antonio, Texas. We've taken the business to well over the $150 million mark this year, and continue to thrive and really build off the brand, the legacy that was created so many years ago based on innovation and quality and growth and building on people. There's a huge legacy. I can't go anywhere, especially in Phoenix, where somebody, their grandfather, their uncle, their dad, used to work for Gettle back in the day. So that's Gettle Air Conditioning and why I'm here. Now, Dale came on shortly after I purchased it, and he's been a key driver of the business, not just in the sales side, but he's a real influencer, thought leader, helped us build a lot of our systems, not just sales related as well. So he's a key guy, certainly deserves his position of vice president.
And that's good, because now we have Dale on here. So Dale gets to share some things with us. So let's do this. Thanks for teeing that up again, Ken. That was actually the fastest I've ever heard you go through that.
Was it coherent?
I got it. It was perfect.
This is coffee, by the way.
Got it. So, okay. Me too. So let's go ahead and go into this. And I want to start this thing off by talking about, you, since you finished with Dale and talking about your people, with all that's going on right now with the coronavirus, how is your guys' culture right now at Gettle?
So I would say, and I'll let Dale step in on this one too, but I would say our culture is great. We continue to be very positive. You know, we're a very numbers-driven business, metrics-driven business. You know, we spend the last quarter of the year putting plans and budgets together, and I'm happy to report we're currently ahead of budget for this month. So, we haven't allowed this to detract us from our business plan. At the same time, we are being mindful of taking care of our employees, doing the right thing for our customers, and just being careful. I try to talk to as many of my fellow industry fellows as I can, because I've just decided a long time ago that the way that I was going to get to where I wanted to be was to help others get to where they want to be. And so I've tried to do everything I possibly can to give back any which way I can to the industry as a whole or anyone who needs help in the struggle of growing business, because no one knows it better than me the struggle, right?
Yep.
So, you know, the culture's great. And I'll let me have Bill step in on this.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we've got in Phoenix, got over 100 employees. And of those 100 employees, we haven't had, you know, everybody's concerned, right? Everybody, you know, is concerned about the virus and the unknown. And there's some fear out there, but I can say that our team, we have some people that we have working at home that we've chosen, that we have reasons why we have them working at home. There's, but we have had no employees say that they didn't want to work. No employees say that they didn't want to come in. No one in the call center. No one in the tech room. None of our plumbers. None of our installers. Everybody wants to work. And from what I've heard from some friends in the industry, that's not the case at their business. They've got half the guys are afraid to come in. They're afraid to do this. They're afraid to do that. And you know what we do is, you know, it's safety first, right? And so anytime we have, we get in front of our technicians every day. Right now, I'm getting in front of the technicians every day with a 3-minute motivational video. And what's important is that we can't just come out of the gate in a message talking about making sales. And then on the other hand, your message can't be stay safe, guys, and make sure you stay safe. That's the message that's the only message most people are putting out there, stay safe. What we're doing is we're bookending the message. Stay safe. Let's get out there and make money for our families and take care of our clients. Number one priority. Number two priority, take care of our clients. Number one priority, stay safe. Then we talk about taking care of our clients, making money for our families, driving the business forward. Then we bookend it with, and most importantly, guys, stay safe. You know, and what I find is, as a leader in the business, we have to compartmentalize the virus part. You know, if I'm in an 8-hour day, I'm probably spending an hour dealing with the, how are we going to manage the virus and manage the safety of the business and the safety of our clients and our employees. But then the rest of the time, it's driving Gettle forward, pushing the business forward, driving the business forward, managing the technicians, managing your people. But if you don't compartmentalize it, and next thing you know, your whole day, 15 minutes of every hour is taken up with some virus stuff. And that just derails. You're not able to stay focused. So we really have to stay focused in this business.
So when this first came on, like Paul and I were talking, about going to the ACCA convention, whether we're going to go or not. You know, I think we both decided on that phone call, we're going to sit this one out. But at that point, I said, okay, now that I made that decision, you know, we're going to take control of this. And let me back up and say this. So for those who read my book, I talk about the struggles I had to get going in business. And, you know, that started about 1988. Well, by the time, you know, 1990 came around, and I hit a stride, and I started to pull it together, and things started to work, and I was very excited about my company. And then the Desert Storm thing, right? I'll never forget, I'm driving in my truck and I hear, you know, the radio talks about that we just declared war. And my heart sinks. I'm like, oh no, another setback. What am I going to do? And I sat back and I thought about, wait a minute. You have just been through the biggest shitstorm in your life, the biggest shitstorm that most business people will ever live through. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, read the book. But, you know, and I got through that, so I'm going to get through this. And I went back to the office, and I pulled our team together, and I said, this is not stopping us. We're executing our plan. We're doing the work. If we have to work a little harder, we will. But we are going to continue to march through this and take the lead. We're going to use this opportunity to slingshot everybody else who's playing safe or playing scared. And we did it. We executed, and everybody else that was, you know, wanted to play the scared game and not know what to do and paralyzed by the fear, we blazed right by them and took the business. Same thing happened. 9/11 came. Never forget. I'm sitting watching the news first thing in the morning, And I, for some reason, I don't know, I left the room. My wife comes running and says, look, come here. It shows me the second plane hit. And then my heart's thinking, oh, no. Because I just, you know, we just got a new business. I just bought a new business, you know, and I, you know, leveraged up a little bit. I'm like, oh, no, what's going to happen? I started thinking that way. And I was like, hold on a second. And I took my mind back out of it. And I turned up the gas. And I bought more advertising. I took more business. Because everybody else fell asleep at the wheel. Now come back to this situation. I mean, there's every single major event over these last decades. You know, I just have put more fuel to the fire. 2009, you know, 2008 was the big crash, the end of 2008. 2009, the world was falling apart. And I went out. And I increased my advertising budget by $1.1 million. And I turned on that radio and I just advertised the hell out of our brand. And while everybody else contracted, I took the business. There was no new business to be had, but I took theirs. And I don't mean to sound like a demon or anything here, but I mean, that's competition and that's business. And so we took it and I didn't let that hold us back. And my people rallied around me. You know, people want to rally around leaders with courage. And so the same thing happened when we got back here and Paul and I had that conversation. As I was saying, I got back and I got my team on the phone, and my key people, my CFO, my chief compliance officer, my head of HR, all my VPs, said, okay, let's talk about what we're going to do. And the first thing I said is, listen, this is business as usual. We're going to figure out how to conduct ourselves so our employees and customers are safe, but it's business as usual. We have a plan, and we are not deviating from this plan. We can do this, and we're going to set off like a team, and so act like a team. And so we made this initial phase of the plan, which were we talk every morning at 8 a.m. It might be for 10 minutes. Might be for an hour, but we're talking specifically on the things that we're doing to protect ourselves and our families. Are we doing the right things? You know, work from home. We have all of our contingency plans in place now. We've got with our outside IT consultants. We immediately decided if it's work from home, how are we doing it? Who does what? We have the whole plan laid out. We've rehearsed the plan. We've tested the plan. We have people that need to work from home, working at home, working remotely, logging onto our systems, and most of those are our customer service reps or outbound sales type people. And then our technicians, we immediately deployed our videographer, and he created a video for our customers and for our employees on how we're going to conduct ourselves. We purchased all of the safety gear for everybody and then some. And we continue to meet every day. We continue to adjust. At the same time, just like everything we do in business, we've quantified it, right? And so we have daily reports. Some reports come out twice a day that talk about how many calls were booked, how many were canceled, how many customers, concerned customers we have. And what we mean by this is the concern of the virus or having people in their home. And we're counting it every day. And we do not see an appreciable amount of concerned customers. People are happy that we're open. Now, here's an interesting thing too. You know, I'm kind of study my little universe here all the time. And so I look at my world as, you know, with six branches, I look at like, you know, different companies. And so the strong leaders with the strong branches with the strong leaders, they're the happiest, most productive, and well over budget. The branches I have, which are two of them, that are don't have the strongest leaders, they're soft. I mean, they're not bad. They're on point. They're on budget, but they're soft. It's just not the same game. They got more people calling out. They got more concerns, this and that. So it really has to do with the leader at the branch. It's not the land. It's the man.
I speak, and when I get on the phone or on the videos, with the guys in the morning. I speak to facts. So these are the facts that I see. But the truth that I see is that, you know, one of the things that this crisis has taken away from people is it's taken away the ability to go shopping. Not everybody shops online. If you're an Amazon shopper, you're good to go. This is your lucky day, right? Nothing's business as usual. You sit at home, you buy what you want to buy, it's shipped to your front door. For a lot of people, I would say even the majority of our clients, they don't shop online. So this crisis has taken away the ability for them to go do what they love to do, which is go out and spend money and buy things that they like and that they feel that they need and that they see value in. And so while it might take a few more dials, while it might take a little more effort to get that customer onto our board, onto our dispatch board, once we show up at that house, if the client, if we're fortunate enough to get to that client's front door, it really is business as usual and then some. Actually, it's not business as usual. It's business better than usual, because once we get to the client's homes, we are performing at a higher level. The clients are more enthusiastic than normal to see us. And we have to seize that opportunity. And it's not a bad thing. It's not a curse word. As long as you bookend it with safety first and safety last.
Yeah, so let me throw this at you. So Pete Grasso, editor of HBACR News, reached out to me yesterday. Hey, can you send me some of the stuff that you're doing? Kind of a similar question that you thought. So I'm going to read you the succinct message that Amber McKee, my director of marketing, sent him. So you kind of get a flavor for this whole thing, how we acted.
Okay,
so
perfect.
Number one, so we're communicating with our customers during the COVID-19 epidemic the following ways. One, via our video. Now, we posted a video on YouTube. We put it on social media. I'm sure a lot of our listeners have seen it. As a matter of fact, we've been so well received that the Registrar of Contractors in Arizona has asked permission to put it on their website as what contractors should be doing.
It's good. I saw the video. It's fantastic.
Yeah. We put the message on our website, gettle.com. We explain our safety measures when asking if anyone is in the home sick on every call that's dispatched. So we ask that question, is there anyone that's the home sick? And then we'll make a determination there. If it's obviously, if they're packaging on the roof, we'll roll. If it's and then we do have some training on don't get your head inside the return air, things like that first. But so we'll roll if not, we'll make a determination what we're going to do at that point. Tracking customers' responses, concerns, and cancellations daily, which is reported on the attached JPEG. So like I told you, we have reports. What are the customers' response? Our team has their finger on the pulse of our customers and what's happening every single day, now twice a day, so we can pivot fast if we need to. We hold meetings at 8 a.m. every day with our senior leadership to review new changes, requirements, recommendations made by the CDC. Strategy to implement CDC recommendations. 3, inventory and supply flow of essential sanitation products. Customer feedback. Employee concerns and adherence to social distancing. We're not social distancing right now. Daily communication plan to the Gettle family. So daily, we are communicating to our approximately 700 employees every single day. Here's what's going on. Here's what we're doing and just keeping you informed. Remember, in the absence of information, the human being always assumes the worst.
True.
Let's quote that.
How are you guys communicating? Because you have all the different branches, what's the best way you guys are communicating? Is this through like an internal channel, just email communication? Is it a video? Is it a mixture of all those? What is that? Leadership?
We do an 8 a.m. Update call with, you know, there's 30 people on it. Every key manager of the business, every call center manager, service managers, they're all on the call. And there's a few key people that are tasked with, we have a guy who's tasked with the hand sanitizer and the gloves and the masks. And then we have this guy who's tasked with CDC updates. And so we all come together in the morning to get the information out. And that is those are the facts of the day. We don't speculate. We've got we're armed with the facts that we have. And that's the narrative that we project to our teams. And so, there's so much information coming out on a minute-by-minute basis that, you know, if you get bogged down in that, you will literally have a horror. Your day will not be productive.
We're using all channels, email, yep. YouTube, yep. Text.
Yep.
I don't think we use it back.
No.
Sorry for the interruption. To the point, listeners, have you heard of Rilla? Are you using Rilla yet? If not, are you for Rilla? See what I did there? Rilla is the leading speech analytics software for the trades. It is on a mission to bring physical ride-alongs to an end. You can coach your reps with virtual ride-alongs now. They're 100 times better, faster, and much more efficient than the physical ones. All you got to do is use the Killa Rilla. That's R-I-L-L-A, Rilla.
Smoke signals.
Ken, you shared some data with us about the concerned customers and some cancellations. Do you mind walking through some of that data? When I saw it, I was really encouraged by how small the number is.
Yeah, I think it's important. While he's pulling that up because you kind of put him on the spot with it. That's probably what we hear the most of. It's not even. I mean, us as a digital marketing company, Ken, you kind of know our stances. We're very like-minded, and we keep going because people are home more, and actually lead volume is picking up. But still, people will worry about, hey, I can get there, then they're canceling. Well, there's things that you guys are putting in place to curb that, and that's like the video, the things on the website, the messaging, because like you just said, you know, if you're not communicating with them, they already expect the worst or fear the worst.
Yes.
So
here's an example of a report. I don't know if you can see it. That's just come out. This is kind of a real cheap and dirty report, but it comes out every single day because what we're really concerned with is COVID-related cancellations. So if we know they start getting high, then we might need to adjust our plan, right? And we're also, by the way, let me throw this at you. We understand we are an essential service company. People can't live without the things that we repair, maintain, or install. And so we have to get out there with the customers, especially these times when their house are full of their family. So, you know, we have an obligation to get out and help our communities. So, but what this report does is says, okay, here's a great example. So we're looking at all of by branch, all the HVAC and plumbing related calls that we had, opportunity type calls that we have booked. We booked or that came in. Obviously, our demand at this time of year is low anyway. We don't have a high expectation of any demand. But for our maintenance, you know, we have a maintenance base that we notify as time for their maintenances, and we have outbound dialers for calling our non-maintenance customers to talk to them about our maintenance plans and such. So. Here's our recent update from today.
So you're going to share some of those numbers, Ken?
Yeah. So this month, COVID-19 cancellations in Las Vegas, 3. This was yesterday. 3. 3.95%. Phoenix, 2. Tucson, 2. Corona, 3. Now, Corona, ironic, so our Southern California stuff, that's high because that was, we didn't have a big call count day yesterday. It was only 18 calls.
I think just having a business in a town named Corona.
Corona.
Is probably going to be responsive to
people. But it's very clear to me that the cities that we are working in that have the higher cancellations and the lowest call counts have the weakest leaders. I don't want to mean to call my leaders weak, but when you look at your whole, obviously you got your stronger ones, and you got your not as strong ones, and that's just the reality of life. And so I truly believe it's the guy. more than it is the condition of the marketplace.
Yeah. And Ken, I'll to jump in, you know, I'm encouraged by those numbers, of course, but on the other hand, it in some ways breaks my heart because we're taking phone calls from two different schools of people right now. Some that are like you who are like, hey, there's a lot of opportunity. It's business as usual. We're taking calls from people who are like, I need to stop all of my expenses. So stop this marketing, stop that marketing, because I don't know what's going to happen to me and to my business. And I don't think people like that will make it through this. I really don't. And that's the sad part.
You know, it's funny. If we have picked up some real talent from this too. I mean, I can't believe how many guys are running so scared. I forgot who this guy is. Is it Glenn Beck? Glenn Beck, the financial guru guy?
Well, he's a conservative talk show host.
Yeah, so I don't know. He's gone around and said, you know, sell all your stock and get all your cash out of the bank and, you know, get your shotgun out and all your stuff, right? I think it's him. But anyway, there's a lot of guys listening to him and they're closing up shop and they're contracting. We've picked up some real talent from that. We picked up a great guy in Southern California. I mean, a serious sales manager. And then we picked up some great techs and two good salesperson people. They're just playing the game wrong right now.
Well, so we are going through something similar, and you and I kind of talked about this a little bit last night when we were texting back and forth, Ken, is we're experiencing similar things where we actually have competitors of ours that are like, oh shit, what am I going to do? And they're looking to sell. And we are exact opposite. Like if you ask any of our employees, we're foot to the floor. Like we're not afraid. Like this is a great time. We started this company, you know, at Rhino in 08, 09, like in that recession, and we excelled because we're able to bring in new business. Well, this is no different. Actually, what's making it better is that people are pulling back in all these markets, and it's making our cost per lead continue to go down. So those guys that are sticking with it, we just keep our foot to the floor, and we're taking chunks of share. We're taking chunks of share. So it's great because I can see their numbers every day on what new lead volume looks like. So while everybody is like, pull back, you know, if they're our customer, we've coached, you know, our team to be like, why? And then we kind of do like Dale was saying, is we share real data, like the facts on to support why we're, you know, so confident on keep moving forward. And then like you guys might have saw, I posted a Google Trends report that showed customer search volume. So it wasn't just me making shit up or being a sales guy or my sales team. It was facts showing who's still searching even as of last week when everybody, you know, shit their pants. What does search volume look like? Meaning, is there still new customers searching that aren't looking for Gettle or another company? They're looking for AC repair, furnace repair, whatever. And the numbers are still staying consistent. Like, it's not, you're not making it up. I'm not making it up. We can't all be wrong. But the most encouraging piece of data that you just shared was the percentage of those cancellations. Think about the markets we're talking about. Like, those are such small numbers in massive markets. Like, you can't. Like it sucks that people are going to have that and lean on that so much, but I think that's what's in their head is that's true.
By the way, let me throw this at you. Those cancellation rates are lower than our typical cancellation rates. Lower, when there's no pandemic, we have higher cancellation rates.
Our conversion rate on everything, whether it's outbound dialing, inbound call taking, cancellations. And we're exceeding everything, you know, every day. And right now, just back to your point, is that right now, you know, the facts, right? The facts are what people need. It's what our teams need. And our teams need deliberate decisions, deliberate leadership, you know, because so much of the information you're getting is people are just shooting from the hip and throwing out different things in so many different, you know, internet and TV and, you know, everywhere, and we're just being deliberate.
Yeah, so we just have the courage to lead. Hey, by the way, speaking of that, one thing that we're doing right now that may be different than a lot. So I'm not sure today how many employees we have because we know that it changes a lot. It's changing, but at least 650 now. And so I cut a deal with a major manufacturer before getting here, and we're going to install in all 611 one of our employees' homes a IAQ package that includes a MERS 16 filter, hospital grade filter, and a UVC ultraviolet light system, air purifier in their homes, just like that one I have in my house. And we're going to gift that to our employees and get it installed into their homes immediately, to make sure they have the cleanest environment in their homes and give them some more peace of mind. Now, it's going to cost me well over $1 million, but I just think that it's the right thing to do for our people who are out in the field and anybody who, you know, just to give back to them for the sacrifices they're making for their communities. And so we're going to roll that out and get some press out on that soon as well.
And that also gives them peace of mind. I mean, and hey, let's not forget, I'm in Anthem, Arizona. Like, I'm not that far. And since this is now your podcast, I kind of am part of that deal. So just I'll make sure you have the address, and we'll get you up there.
Hey, Dale will make sure you have everything you need, Chris.
Hey, listen, send me the address. I'll take care of it right now. I mean, we sell those, that service. We sell that product. And, you know, obviously demand for that's really increased lately. But, you know, I think I've probably, to my friends and family, I've probably given away 50, 60 of them so far. I got one of my good friends who doesn't need any financial help by any means, but, you know, he just got diagnosed with cancer. And so I said, hey, my team's coming over today. We're putting in the UV system and the MERS 16 filters in for you, no charge. Make sure that you're healthy up until you go get your operation.
Fantastic. I want to ask a question to you, Dale, on this IAQ deal, because I've seen and heard and had people reach out to me. I know Paul has, really all of my sales team and all of our account managers have around this, how to roll out IAQ, because it's such a sensitive subject on how you roll that out, because you don't want it to be like you're taking advantage of the situation. But really what it is it's, I think, the approach, because it's also a time of year, like Paul has, you know, tall Paul has allergies, and he showed me a picture today of all the pollen all over his stuff. So it just so happens that with this coronavirus thing, it's brought to attention IAQ more than ever, I would say.
Yeah.
And so what is, in your opinion, based on like what you guys have already experienced, because you like to talk about facts, what's the best way for these guys, your other brothers and sisters in the trades, to roll out IAQ in your guys' opinion?
Well, I mean, there's a couple of different types of ways to do it. I mean, the old school way was that you would ask the client, you know, is there anyone in your house who suffers from allergies or respiratory issues? And the problem with approaching it that way is that if they say no, then you're done, you know? And so in the past few years, we started, we've actually started talking about it in terms of system protection, because all that dirt and dust that you're breathing in the air, that's all getting stuck right into your air conditioning system without the proper filtration. So we would focus on protecting the system and keeping the internal components of the system clean. And then now we're right back to, you know, talking to the clients about air. You know, you don't have to walk into the house and start the conversation with the clients, because if you walk into the house and you ask the client, hey, how's your day going? They're going to tell you about the day and the virus and the concerns and how they're worried. And then you can just simply ask them, just a real honest, real conversation. Hey, are you concerned with the air quality in your home? And if they say, yeah, then you can say, hey, well, you know, we offer products that actually can help with that. We have an air cleaner that will actually keep all the, they'll remove the particles from the air, and remove the allergens from the air. And then we also have air purifiers that are actually ultraviolet light that goes in the system that simulates direct sunlight in your system, purifies the air conditioner, sanitizes the air conditioner, and then all the air that passes through is purified. And when you take those two components, the air filtration and the air purifier, and combine them, you actually end up with like super filtration, which is very similar to what they have in hospitals. And it's just a real conversation. That's the whole thing, you know, and just to go back to the $11.4 million in sales, it's all just real conversations. That's the thing, is that people want, the reason people hate sales guys is they hate sales. But if you just have real conversations with people, focus on the person and their needs, you're not really selling anything. You're just offering products and services that are going to make their lives better.
You know, one of our, so we're putting in the super system at my house right now in Scottsdale. And, so got my family all there. I'm, you know, I just kind of work from home and I'm coming to the office for a couple hours. But anyway, they're putting it in right now and I'm going to unveil it. I've given a little teaser on Facebook, but it's a whole RO system. It's charcoal, carbon filter, RO, whole house RO, fills 350 gallons of water, pure water in the tank is dispersed throughout my home. I shower in my own Fiji water. Actually, I had a mixing valve put in my garage so I can wash my cars and not have to dry them anymore because they're being RO type water. Then we have our variable speed heat pump with our UV light, one to clean the coil and one to clean the air, and our MERV 16 filter, as well as our tankless water heaters, our recirc pumps.
Is your super toilet have Fiji water in
Will. My super toilets won't even never get stained through. And then
all
stainless steel pans, like we fabricated fake stainless steel pans in case any water drips. We're not going to have that moldy drywall like the common folks do, right? So, I mean, I'm building the super system. So anyway, the whole point here is one of my great plumbers who's installing it, I was talking to him. He was looking at the UVC light. This which one was it?
APCO X.
And so he said, "Who can teach me how to sell one of these?" And I said, "Look, this is very simple. Listen to me. You're going to someone's home. You look at their water heater. You say, 'I notice you don't have an air purification system. Would you like me to describe what it does?' If they say yes, you say, 'Well, it's very simple. Bacteria, viruses, mold, airborne contaminants don't live in outside. They can't live because of the sunlight, right? The UV sunlight. And so what we've learned is we can put the sunlight inside your system and kill those things. So that's really what it is. I don't know how it works, and I don't know, you know, I mean, they have done all the testing, and we made sure we got a product that was tested by real laboratories, and we kind of understand the kill rates, this and that. But if you want to boil it down to its simplest form, we're putting sunshine into your air system and killing anything that passes.
You know, technicians are the only ones who care about how it works. Clients care about what it does.
Yep.
And so that's, you know, I don't care how it works. Somebody way smarter than me figured out how that happens. I just can tell you what it does and why you should have it or why it might benefit you. And that's what you do. If you focus on that, selling doesn't really even occur, does it?
Right. No.
That's really wise and super authentic too. Like, I absolutely agree with that.
Yeah, put a little sunshine in your gut.
Put a little sunshine in your dust. Oh,
it sounds like a commercial.
Hey, but you guys, listen. Chris, when I get the super system installed, you got to come out and touch it. What was that? Remember that show, that Tim Fulton guy, and he would make that gorilla noise?
Oh, yeah, Home Improvement.
Home Improvement.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we're going to do that. Yeah, when you make super system. And then I have toilets, too. You know, I put super toilets in. Like, I'm really fucking bored from this quarantine thing, you know. So now I got super toilets in where you walk up to them and the lid opens. You don't have to touch the dirty.
Well, Well, I heard about the bidet you had installed, and you put the water pressure on extra high. It was, I heard that you liked that.
Oh, weird. Yeah.
It's got to get through some stuff.
It is my job to get this back on the rails.
Okay, so that's perfect. I would love to come out and see your new super system. Would love to check that out.
By the way, guess what? Guess what my super toilets have? UVC lights that come up at 1 a.m. every morning and clean themselves. Because what happens in the sunshine?
Everything dies. All the bacteria.
Bacteria dies.
Can't live in the sunlight.
Perfect. Love it.
All right, party at Ken's.
Party at Ken's. All right, so let me cut this thing closed up too, because we're running pretty close to about an hour right now. And I know Dale's got stuff to go work on. I know it. So to wrap this thing up, can you guys share anything that you may have learned from this to do differently or to do different period from this whole thing? Is there anything like that you can share?
Yeah, I got something that's very important. So I think the industry, and mainly from some of the best practice groups, has taught us that, you know, we look at older pieces of equipment, older age homes, older pieces of equipment as what we call opportunity aged calls, right? And we try to prioritize those calls because they have the highest probability of a modernization project or an installation type project. We call them modernization, right? And so we've certainly operated that way. And when we get big full bays and full boards, we'll rank the call types and we will dispatch them accordingly. And so I think what we've learned, and Dale really has kind of keyed into this, is that every call is opportunity age call now, because he's proven that we can sell the air purification systems. We can sell the water purification systems, no matter how old their air conditioner is, no matter how old their water heater is. And we've taken that off the table, and this is our universe, our calls. And if they only have a two-year-old air conditioner where the tech predisposes or the sales guy predisposes that there's nothing there to be sold, and my favorite one is they say, we've already sold them everything there is to be sold, which is never the case. By the way, when they say that, I go, you know, we've run our business this way for 20 plus years, very successfully. And I hear that every single year, but we continue to grow. So, you know, you probably didn't sell them everything there was there to sold. What we're selling is the highest quality of life that we can give through our systems, right? Air conditioning systems, air purification systems, energy control systems, antimicrobial duct systems that don't leak, that get the proper air out, our efficient water heating systems, don't have those things. And so now we know if it's over 10 years old, so our mantra is over 10 years old, the customer should consider replacement just purely because it's out of warranty, and air conditioning in the desert is a life support system. It's not a luxury. So make sure you have the most reliable one. And to the extent that they can afford that, and that's within their plans for their house, we urge them to do that. But now anything less than 10 years old is a candidate for all those other services. And we're really, this has forced us to start getting our muscle memory around good IAQ and good water quality and tankless water heaters and all these other things for the customers that are under 10 years old. And not that we didn't sell that before, but now we're just selling it at such a higher rates per visit. You follow me?
I do.
So I think that this out of this situation is that's what it's taught us. And maybe Dale can say it a little better than I am.
Well, if you can do that, what Ken just described, you're in a lot of ways, you're taking out the seasonality of the business. You know, you can sell ductwork, you can sell duct systems, you can sell indoor air quality, big revenue packages all year round. And that's an exciting thing. We also, you know, we got our plumbing guys selling air conditioning, our air conditioning guys sold plumbing. That's all. that's something that we're really taking hold of now too. But one thing I will say, and then I'll shut up and let Ken wrap it up, is that, you know, one thing I've realized in this whole thing is that the holes in your business today are the same holes you had in your business 3 months ago. It's not different. It's no different. This is just another objection. This is just another reason why this is just, oh, we got too much going on right now. The kids are going to college. We don't, you know, but we just lost our job. We got taxes due. It's holidays. It's too busy. It's not a good time. This is just that on steroids. So it just takes a little more effort to get to the door. Once you get the calls on the board, once you get to the door, the customers are enthusiastic more than ever. You just got to find you have to have the wherewithal to get to the door.
Just keep going.
Keep going. And you know, as cheesy as it sounds, times like these are where leaders are born.
Yeah.
This is where this is your chance to shine or cower and play dead. We're not going to play dead. Ken Goodrich does not play dead. Come on. Right?
So I guess, you know, to wrap it up, it's, you know, we have this, we use this company called MAP, Management Action Programs, out of Newport Beach, California. And they're, you know, business has been around since the 70s. And they teach the fundamentals of management, people management. And we use that to take our technical field people and we put them through this coursework. And so that they have some base of understanding of management as they move up into the company. You know, as a company continues to grow, we're going to need our skilled labor to start leading skilled labor, right? So anyway, one of our MAP consultants, Steve Buchanan, he says something all the time, and I think it's apropos right here. He tells our people that great leaders are great actors. Great leaders are great actors. So even if you don't feel it, you know, you don't show your cards all the time. You need to be the strong one. You need to be the level-headed one. You need to be the one with the vision and knows where and give the confidence into your people that it's going to be okay. And we're going to go here and we're going to thrive and no one's losing their job and we're going to look out for everybody and we're going to thrive. And so even if you don't feel it, don't let it get to you. You can't let them see you sweat. You have to stand up like a leader and say, this is where we're going, point the direction, pull everybody together, let's go. You got to have the courage to lead.
100%. Paul, what email did I send to our leadership team last week?
Exactly that, on courage. And now it's up to us. It's so good, so true.
Yeah, it is. Leaders lead. We talked about this before. Good leaders make for great companies. Great leaders make for great companies, that type of stuff. But you've got to be confident and you have to make sure that when you're leading, that you have your team is confident. I just happen to let mine know the reason I'm so confident is because I believe so much in them and they do such a great job. And I remind them over and over. And then we show them, like Dale's talking about, bringing facts to the table is you bring actual results. Like, look what you just did for this company in this time. Look what you just did for this company in this time. That's why I have the courage to keep going forward, because it's there and our customers need to know it. Thank goodness this is an essential business. So lucky for us, or, you know, it is, like, I guess luck is when preparation meets opportunity. We're in it. And you can either move forward, foot to the floor, no 0 days, keep chipping away. Or like you said, you can cower. And that's unfortunately part of business is that's the wrong decision in our opinion. And somebody's got to take advantage of that. Demand service, and somebody's got to take care of them. And if you're not going to do it, I am. And that's kind of your guys' methodology. It's just you doing it, not the easy way, if you do it the right way.
Yeah, we do things the right way, not the easy way.
You guys do the things the right way, not the easy way, and you don't use tips and tricks.
Right. And one last thing. I want you to understand what it was like when I went to my board today and said, I'm going to spend $1.5 million and give all employees a air purification system. And you could have heard a pin drop. But I got it on, and I convinced them it was the right thing to do. And so I challenge all HVAC dealers listening to this podcast to do the same for their people. And I think it would send a great message if we could get people piling onto this and, you know, get it out in the press somewhere. I think that we could, you know, show a great, what's the word? Where we're
unity,
great unity, as trade fellows, that we care about our people, we care about our customers, we care about our communities.
So I have an idea. Let's actually make that a thing. We're going to call it Heart for Home Services. We're going to hashtag it. I'm going to create some logo for it, and we're going to see if we can't challenge some of the others to do similar things, including ourselves.
Okay, great.
What do you think, Paul?
I like it, and my wheels are turning. I think I might be able to get some support on the equipment side of things, so we'll make those calls.
Heart for Home Services, hashtag Heart for Home Services. We're on to something. Sweet. Awesome. Well, listen, guys, I appreciate it. Dale, man, great to have you on. We've heard about you, and now we get to meet you in the flesh. Well, I guess not really, but virtually.
Virtual flesh. My virtual. Pleasure. Hey, I look forward to seeing you guys soon.
Likewise, and actually getting you guys in. I mean, this is weird not having you here. It's way better when you're in person and Ken's here, and we'll have to get you down here too to do this. But guys, thanks again, man. We really appreciate it. Even though this is a crazy time, it's not the end of time. Like, keep going. You guys are a fantastic example of what great leadership can do in a time like this. The company is still performing flawlessly. And in some instances, like you said, your cancellation rate is even lower. So that excuse is out the window. So if you heard nothing else from this video or this podcast, it's have the courage to lead and make sure you're leading by example. And even if you're not feeling it, you make sure that you put it out there, because perception is reality. So you got to put it out there and be a good actor, like you were saying. But there's no reason to go like, what's the benefit of going the opposite direction? Foot to the floor, no 0 days, get after it, because business is still there. Customers are still wanting you in the home, but you control your own message. So be confident, put your foot to the floor, pivot if you need to pivot. If you've been banking your business so much on big box retail and that's slowed down significantly, it's not over. Pivot, move to something else, do demand service, pay-per-click, Google LSA, whatever, something that's demand service to help pick up the slack. But for God's sake, do something, but keep your foot to the floor and get after it, just like Gettle has done over and over and over successfully. So guys, thank you again. I'm sure it won't be the last time you're on here, since it's really Ken's podcast anyhow. But we thank you, Ken. Dale, keep giving back to the community. You guys are fantastic. TP, I appreciate you, brother. And we are out of here. Thank you.
Stay safe.
Great job. You too. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to The Point. We hope you enjoyed this episode. Please consider leaving us a review in the App Store. And don't forget to share with your friends. Till next time, kick some ass.